The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs he was performing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish feast of Passover was near. When Jesus raised his eyes, he saw that a large crowd was coming to him. So he said to Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for them to eat?" He said this to test him, because he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 days' wages worth of food would not be enough for each of them to have a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. But what good are these for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people recline." Now there was a great deal of grass in that place, so the men reclined, about 5,000 in number. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were reclining, and also as much of the fish as they wanted. Then, when they had their fill, he said to his disciples, "Gather the fragments left over so that nothing will be wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves that had been more than they could eat. When the people saw the sign he had done, they said, "This is truly the prophet, the one who is to come into the world." Since Jesus knew they were going to come and carry him off to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain alone. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So the first reading and the Gospel today is similar in the sense that the prophet in the Old Testament fed 100 people, but of course Christ, much, much greater, he fed over 5,000 people. The difference is, of course, is in the Old Testament, he just wanted to feed them. While in the Gospel today, 3 things we have to remember. What was happening during that time? The people were there, and Christ asked his disciples, why did he ask them? First, to test them, to see whether or not they trust him, whether or not they realize that he has the power to really feed those people. And hopefully, their trust in him will grow. And then, what happened after that? When, after asking the question, he wanted now for them to be involved in what he was about to do. He could have fed the people, 5,000 of them, without anything, from nothing, from zero. Why? Why can he do that? Because he is God. From nothing into something that's easy for him. But why did he use what this little boy had? 5 breads and some fish. The reason why, so that the apostles will realize that even though this boy had little, he contributed something. Okay? Meaning what? In his feeding of the 5,000, he wanted his disciples to learn how to be involved. Whatever challenges that they will face or that they will see, they should get involved. Not simply, hi, hello, bye-bye, I'll pray for you, and do nothing. You cannot do that. He wanted his apostles, disciples, followers, after trusting and confident in Jesus, they must do something also. Little as it may seem, still they have to do something. Of course, comparing to the vast problems of the world, and we are just a small dot in the universe, still he wants us to be involved, just like this little boy. And of course, at the end, what happened? The people clamored that he should be king. They did not get the point, because they thought of Jesus in a very, what, worldly sense. Yes, he had the power to feed them, but they were thinking about this, and not what? And not to end up being with God. To become a king of Israel is to limit his being the savior of mankind, the savior of the world. He's beyond such political ambition or power. He wanted something else for us. He desired something else for us. And that is for us to see him not simply a giver of bread, but the bread that came down from heaven. They missed the point that he is the bread that God the Father has given them for them to get close to the Father. And that is all about the Eucharist. So what he did, feeding 5,000 people is nothing compared to the greater gift that he wanted us to have. And that is himself. Since he was able to feed 5,000 people from something so small, he can definitely make something even greater than this. To make the bread, when he took the bread at the Last Supper, broke it, blessed it, and said, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body." Did he do it? Yes, he did. And he gave it for us to receive it, not a suggestion, but he wanted us to have the bread, the food of the angels, the Eucharist, Christ himself. So this miracle of feeding 5,000 is only a precursor, an introduction to what he can give. His life, and most of all, when he rose from the dead and went back to heaven, he wanted us to continue to experience his presence by the Eucharist. So that is why when I hear Christians only insisting on the Bible and not realizing what it was trying to say, and simply concentrated on the Word and not end up what the Word gave us, is very, very sad. Very, very sad. And they will continue to insult us by saying, "Oh, you Catholics are nuts. Why do you eat his body?" This coming from Christians. This is not coming from pagans, but Christians themselves who deny the Eucharist, even though this is a gift of God for all of us. So first, all of us here have encountered, will encounter challenges in life. Sometimes overwhelmingly. Sometimes you see the problems of the world, problems of poverty, of corruption, of violence, of hatred. But what do you do when you encounter such difficulties? And trust everything to God. Trust that He knows what He's doing. First and foremost, we are not in control. He is. He has the power to do that. But the second point is what? We must be involved one way or the other. Okay? And how do you do that? Obviously, first of all, is to pray. To beg God for the grace. To beg God for forgiveness. To beg God to help us be stable and strong in our faith. And do something. If you are a politician, be a good politician. Not corrupted. Not believing in wrong things like socialism or communism. Those are bad things. Don't you know that? It is sinful to think, to advocate that the government has the right to steal your money and forcibly get it from you and give it to lazy people just because they think they sound good. Socialism and communism is sinful. That is never, some people even use that. Some people would even say that Christ is a socialist. No. If you share what you have, it is not because the government is telling you that you have to give it. Rather, whatever you share it out of love. And like the little boy, no, he was involved in sharing, but he was not forced to do it. So socialism, if anybody here believes that socialism is good or communism is good, you better think about that. That is not the way. We do good things out to glorify God, to love others, and not the government telling us, forcing us to get our hard-earned money, or your hard-earned money, you know, and then say, oh, this is for the poor. Sorry. That is not the way. And third, of course, is to what? To make sure that after being trusting in God and being involved in the process of change, we ultimately go why we do these things, and that is to be with Jesus. Everything that we do, it's not about power. Everything that we do is not about selfishness. It is all for the glory of God. And how do we maintain, remain, and being with Jesus every Sunday? And if we can do it even every day, be nourished in the Eucharist, for the Eucharist, and with the Eucharist. That is the center of our lives here. I hope and pray that you believe that the Eucharist is not simply an obligation every Sunday. Rather, you can even say, I can't live without the Eucharist. Is that how you think about the Eucharist? What do you think? How do you think about, or what do you think about the Eucharist in your life? Is it only once a week thing for you? Or you always desire, long for, that you cannot wait too long to receive it? And some of you have done that. They have now decided to have a habit, a virtue of receiving the Eucharist every day because they realize they can't live without it. And you know this because the saints have survived without even eating actual food, just surviving receiving the Eucharist. That is how real, how wonderful, how great the Eucharist is. So my dear friends, I've said my piece. I hope and pray that your confidence in Jesus grows and that you get involved one way or the other, especially here in our parish. Here in our parish, what do you do? Remember, this parish is the family of God. What do you do? For example, as you know that we will be having this building, how much do you want to be involved in that endeavor? And we do this so that our faith will continue to spread by teaching our students. But be involved. And third of all, please, for your sake, The Eucharist is the center of our lives. Love and love the Eucharist more and more each day.